Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. Here at Branching Minds, we know all over this country there are administrators and teachers doing the extraordinary work of transforming school communities, making a difference for students each and every day. There's no better way to begin our podcast than featuring some of these remarkable educators. For these first episodes, our Voices from the Field series, we will feature a few education rock stars who are leaders in their school communities doing the service to support students and teachers. For our final episode of the Voices from the Field series, we are talking with Jenna Blank, who is an educator at Livonia Elementary School in a small rural community of Livonia in western New York. Jenna has been an educator for 14 years and 3 years ago took on a new position of coordinating the RTI and MTSS process for her school. She loves being able to work closely with teachers and families in support of students and helping them find the right intervention. Throughout this episode, we reference the term MTSS. If you aren't familiar with MTSS or multi-tiered system of supports, it's a system-level structure or framework that a school or district might adopt to provide support for all students. MTSS helps educators identify students' academic, behavioral, and social-emotional strengths and challenges and provide differentiated support for students based on their needs. MTSS grew out of the integration of two other intervention-based frameworks, Response to Intervention, or RTI, and Positive Behavior Intervention and Supports, PBIS. Now for my conversation with Jenna. I'm excited to have Jenna Blank with us today from Livonia Central School District in New York. And we're just excited to have a little conversation about her experience with MTSS and just her experience so far this school year and even just in education in general. We're just excited to get to know her a little bit more. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Jenna.
Sure, yes. So I am a teacher here at Livonia Elementary School. We're located in Western New York. And a little bit of background about myself is I graduated from St. John Fisher University with a BA in childhood education, early education, and special education. I also had a minor in technology education. And I went on from there to get a master's of science in literacy. So I came to Livonia as a reading specialist. And that's kind of how I became so heavily involved in our RTI MTSS process. Several years ago, we hired an amazing director of curriculum. She had a vision for our RTI MTSS process that she wanted to change. It was fantastic. So for the past 3 years, I've been leading the initiative of overhauling our old process and working hand in hand with incredible teachers, specialists, administrators, and our families and just getting us on a new pathway.
Well, we're excited to have you here and kind of hear more about your story and even just some of your, I guess, passion and just the excitement that you have about around MTSS. So maybe describe your current role in your school community.
Sure. Yeah. So my current title is RTI MTSS coordinator. And actually, it's a dual role for me because I still teach pre-K in the morning and then I go into the RTI MTSS role in the afternoon, but they often overlap. But my role was actually created to support staff, students, families through this process, as well as working really close with our administration team on creating a system that just really works for all. So I coordinate the meetings, I help develop intervention plans, I compile our data, I track trends, I assist with our intervention groups, I support teachers and families with implementing all those plans and the goals. So that's really, it's kind of in a nutshell what I do all day.
Well, and that you have a unique perspective, teaching for part of the day and doing the work the other part of the day. Like, I think that is really important for people who maybe move out of the classroom to
maintain that classroom perspective and being around students. Because I think oftentimes when you get too far removed from students, you forget what the day-to-day really looks like.
And absolutely.
Skews your perspective a little bit, I think. So
it really
that's
does.
Great.
Yeah, you're right about that. It just, it always helps keep me in the mindset of, you know, what am I asking a teacher to do and what does that look like during their day? So absolutely, I agree with you.
Yeah, because I mean, we've all been there in those meetings where the principal or the administrator is like, here, do this other thing. And you're like, you have no idea what it's like to do my job.
Yes, absolutely.
So can you maybe describe a little bit about your journey with MTSS and your kind of how you came about learning to be in the position that you are?
Yeah. And it, you know, you kind of touched on it right there. So my journey started out with, I just feel like it's been full of twists, turns, everything in between. And if you'd asked me, you know, prior to this position, what RTI stood for, what MTSS stood for, I would have had no idea, you know. Prior to, you know, me being in this position, we had a wonderful team that was coordinating our RTI services, but it was really struggling and getting bogged down in the paperwork and getting bogged down in the scheduling. So, you know, I often hear other school districts talk about how it's like, you know, well, RTI only happens one day a week for this many hours. And if you're not on that schedule, then you have to wait 6 weeks. So it's kind of like you have a problem, but wait 6 weeks before you can do anything about it. So even though we were meeting, it felt like Groundhog's Day over and over again. You know, we had multiple forms, paper, pencil. Everyone was coming with their own little bit of data, but nobody knew what the other hand was doing. So actually, we began our overhaul in 2019 with Branching Minds as a partner. Our director of curriculum had heard about it from another school district, and we were like, wow, this sounds like a great idea, you know, a great way to kind of start having some common language and all being able to look at the same data and just really like restructure our process. And we had a beautiful plan that we put together. We had some great training and COVID hit. So everything was kind of like put on the back burner, thrown out as we were all scrambling to figure out what to do during COVID. But if there was anything good that may have come out of it, it was our RTI MTSS process, because when we came back in the fall of 2020, we were one of the only districts to come back 5 days a week in person. We did have some digital offerings, but we were back in the class. And we had to really look and examine what we were going to do to help students, because no longer could teachers leave for hours at a time and get a substitute and come down to a meeting. We had to no longer rely on that paper pencil and everyone keeping their own notes. So it forced us into a system where everyone had to be able to access data readily. And so we started using Zoom meetings that worked with teacher schedules. And suddenly we noticed, well, parents are now able to attend more readily because they can pop in from work or, you know, schedule it on their break. So our partnership with the families and community just grew, which was phenomenal. And what I loved about it is that my administrators kind of made this role for me where I could be the boots on the ground for teachers. Mm-hmm. And I could be supporting teachers day in and day out, and they weren't waiting for a meeting on the calendar. They knew that they could pop in, they could call me, and I was right there. So ever since then, we've been tweaking, we've been readjusting, but we're really proud of the system that we've created.
That's amazing. I love that you, I mean, that's the thing, to be able to see like, oh, here's some good things that came out of just the, all of COVID and how the kind of the process we had to go through to reinvent how we did school for that short period of time. I think the Zoom meetings for parents were, as a teacher, I was in the classroom during COVID, and the remote conferences changed the amount of parents that I saw and their availability to pop into a video conference or even on the phone. They were just so much more willing to like do that than get to the school and things like that. So that's great. Yeah. I love that you talked about partnership with parents. Is that, you kind of mentioned that before. That's a big part of your role now. Can you talk a little bit about what you do for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I find that one of the missing links that we had before, and again, it's just like this new way of communicating, just really highlighted how important it is to have parents involved in your MTSS process. They, you know, they have so much valuable information that we often overlook. You know, they are the other half of their child's life. You know, we have them for 8 hours of the day, but they have them the rest. And they bring such a value of knowledge of things that happened prior to their schooling, things that are happening at home, different activities that their children are involved with, and just that outside perspective. So one of my roles has been to really keep that communication open with families. So we invite them to our MTSS meetings. We encourage them to be an active partner with us. And when we do these check-ins, you know, we always make sure that the families are invited if they wish to attend, so they can kind of help us keep track, and we can do those frequent check-ins. And we notice that the more family involvement we have, the better success we see with our interventions.
Ooh, that's amazing. That's a great data point to share, you know, as far as a success of MTSS. And you're right, there are so many things that a parent can offer. And without that parent knowledge and understanding of the kid, it can get lost. You know, I think some of the information can get lost. And then, yeah, and you're a team. Yeah. Everybody's a team, right? We all want Absolutely. The kid to be successful.
Right. So. You know, like, it takes a village to raise a child. Like, it takes the team to be able to help a student be successful throughout school. So, yeah, they're a valuable partner.
Yeah. And I always think that parents are so grateful when they know there's a team of people wanting success for that kid. And they're like, yes, please, I need all the help I can get, you know.
Absolutely. And the transparency is fantastic, too. You know, they know what we are doing and what lengths we're going to support their student. And you're right, they are grateful. And that carryover just makes any intervention we can do in school just more powerful.
That's really true. That's really true. And some of those interventions have to be kind of reinforced at home and practiced at home and things like that too. So kind of talking about specifically about students, can you maybe share an experience with a student that demonstrated how MTSS impacts education?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was thinking about this, and one student came to mind right away, and it was one of those cases where it just kind of showcased how when we all come together and have that team effort, how powerful that can be. So we had a student last year who came to our attention. They were referred to us by their classroom teacher because she just felt like something was not adding up. And they were already receiving reading services, but their other academic areas were starting to lag, and we were starting to see some social emotional concerns as well. So part of our process is to use the insight surveys just so we can get that whole picture, see the whole child. And it gave us some interventions and supports that we could use based on those results, but it also gave us some insight into maybe some assessments we could use for some deeper dives. So we were seeing some red flag areas that was like, okay, we need to gather a little bit more information on that. While we were doing that, we were able to see that even though we were targeting the reading deficit, we were missing a executive function and a language piece that was carrying over into their writing and into their math, which sent their self-confidence plummeting. You know, they things that had been coming relatively easy were now hard. So the team did a great job of, we were meeting, we were keeping up with our data, they were logging notes every Friday, you know, checking off their to-dos. And the family was a phenomenal partner in this, that they were at the meetings with us, they were doing their part with the home support and communicating with us, you know, the day in and day out. And we checked in frequently to see how the student was moving along. And at the end of the day, we started to see, you know, some slow growth at first, but we got back on the right track. And the family was super appreciative. The teachers felt supported through the entire process. And they felt like, oh, it's not just one more thing you're asking me to do. They could see the benefit of what they were doing and that we were essentially tracking their good teaching. Right? Like, it wasn't just one more thing on their plate. It was like, you're a phenomenal teacher. We just need to track what you're actually doing. You've got it in place. And then we added a few things on top. So I could see the same student previously heading down a track of an IEP or maybe, you know, learning disabled. And that was not this student. They just needed the right interventions and the right supports so they could access learning.
Man, that is so true. That's such a good point of that it's not often, or it's not about like just supporting them in general, but it's like the right specific support. And man, as a teacher, if, you know, when people are like, well, let's look at the data, like sometimes that can seem very, I don't know the word, but like kind of attacking you of like, well, give me the proof. But really, like that actually is really important because that's supporting whether what's working, what's not working, how can we, you know, help this kid in that specific way. And so we shouldn't be afraid of data is what I'm saying. I think that,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I tell my teachers all the time and they get sick of me. I say, you do RTI MTSS all day long. I just need to write it down, you know, and, you know, the stuff they're doing in the classrooms is amazing. And that good teaching can go a long way. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's a really great story. I just love that you highlighted the fact that it was about getting the student the right support and how, even if the growth was slow at first, how much that can make a difference. Because I think we can get impatient about growth in students and we think, oh, well, if that doesn't work in 1 week, then it's not the right one. You know, like sometimes it just takes time and it gives, you know, takes a little space to help the student grow and grow in their confidence and their learning. I think what you highlighted, the fact that they were struggling with self-confidence, is really key for students because they're not going to grow if they don't feel confident in what's happening. So,
yeah, yes.
Yeah. In that case, do you bring that student in on some of that planning and things like that with them? I mean, I guess it depends on their age, but do you...
Yeah, this student was relatively young, so they were not a part of any of like the team meetings, but they were a part of conversations with their teacher and their parents. So things that, you know, it was more on a, you know, a personal basis where, or, and they even came to my office for some of the assessments that we were doing. And, you know, we're always framing it as, you know, we see what a wonderful job you're doing with your reading right now. And so we want to do this, you know, quick little chat so that we can figure out where your strengths are and what you're doing really well and what the next step for you is so that you can learn, or your next step on being a reader, something to that effect. And, you know, to get that buy-in from them and know that we support them and we care about them and we're interested in what they need. So we partner with our students that way.
That's really awesome. That's so great. So what would you want others to know? So this podcast is going to, you know, go out to lots of different people and we want to highlight why MTSS is important. What would you want others to know about MTSS?
Yeah. So I guess it's almost like talking to my past self of, you know, what would I want to know? And I would want to know that it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be a roadblock. You know, it can be the solution and it's all about working smarter, not harder. And it's just one of those things where it's, if you really sit down and examine your practices, you'll see how much good you're actually doing, just not actually tracking it in an efficient way. And then also too, I don't think it can be underestimated, the power of a strong tier one curriculum, accessibility to research-based tier two and tier three interventions, and a platform to track and organize your data. I think those are the keys to setting up MTSS success. If you don't have a strong tier one, you're trying to remedy something in tier two and tier three that can't be remedied, right? Like you're trying to pick up the pieces of something that's already crumbling.
But I also think that you're right in the fact that examining instruction at every level and really being, I don't know, just evaluative in a strong way of like, is this really working? And if it's not working, why are we keeping to do, you know, why are we continuing to do it? So that's really important. And I love how you phrase it. Like, what would my past self want to know?
Yep. Cause I was the one moaning and groaning going to meetings, right? Like, oh my gosh, again, like I know we're going to walk out and do the same thing for another 6 weeks. And now that's not the case anymore. I'm really proud of that.
That's really great. I love that. And you're right. Like, I mean, you know, being in education for a long time, you tend to be like, well, this is a meeting that was, we won't talk about again for another 6 weeks, or, you know, here's a spreadsheet I'm not going to look at again, or because it's too much. It's, you know, there's so many things that you do in a day as a teacher. So let's make it easy as possible.
Right. Absolutely.
So thinking about your school community specifically, what is a goal that you have for yourself within the school community, for yourself and the school community?
Yeah. So my goal for myself is always to get students what they need when they need it. I'm always pushing myself to be as responsive as I can be. And that is really using my resources, that we have a plethora of resources available to us at Livonia. We are so fortunate with that. We have incredible administrators, incredible teachers, support staff, specialists that we can utilize. So I'm always pushing myself to make sure that I am thinking of all of those things that I can tap in to get a student what they need quickly. And a goal is for me is always to be part of the solution and remove the obstacles. So I just want to continue doing that and keep pushing us forward in this process.
Mm, yeah. I love that you just want to continually improve. So yeah. That's so great. So what is one of, if you think about all the work that you're doing, what is one exciting thing that you like are just so excited about in this work?
Yeah. So I am 100% a nerd at heart. I love data. I love to sift through it. I love to find trends. And so the exciting thing for me in my role is looking for what jumps out for what a student needs next and being able to like put the puzzle pieces together and assemble the team that's right for that student. So a meeting, any meeting can always look different. And it all depends on what that student needs. So, you know, if we're looking at a student and I'm looking through everything and I see, oh, like some, I see handwritings popping up and somebody mentioned this and that, suddenly I've got OT at the table and we've got a speech teacher at the table and we might have a school psychologist at the table. And that doesn't mean that we're looking for services for that student, but we're using that person and their knowledge to create the best plan moving forward for a student. So they're the ones saying, well, you know, have you tried a voice recorder? Have you tried speech to text? Have you tried a check-in, check-out? You know, they're offering their expertise that helps us really examine our own practices going, okay, what can we put into place? And I just love that part of it. That makes me excited to kind of solve the mystery, if you will.
Ooh, that is kind of the part of the fun about teaching I always found is like, okay, if this didn't work, what's the next thing that could work? What's, you know, right. And then like when you find the thing that, you know, for me, I taught middle school and I was like, what's the thing that's going to motivate these kids? So it's like, what can I do? And it's kind of, it is a solving a mystery and it's creating a plan and getting to like have everybody at the table to brainstorm what like the best possible thing for that student would be. And that's really it's really exciting. It kind of makes your job fun. Because when you find that thing, you're like, oh, we've got the right tools. We can help them. So.
Yep.
So this podcast is called Schoolin' Around. And in Branching Minds, we love to have fun and we love to, you know, be joyful and jolly as we do our work. My goal is to ask every guest this question because as educators, we definitely have an answer to it. Yep. So my final question for you, what's your favorite school supply?
So 100% flare pens, as you probably saw me during the recording, I'm sitting here taking it on and off, right? They're always by me. And notebooks. I can't get enough notebooks. I love to have them. Yep.
I know. This year it was not in the classroom. So I was like, man, I have no reason to buy new notebooks or pens. And I have so many flare pens. You know, at one point I always like during the year would have a kid like, hey, can you go through these and figure out which ones are dried out, you know, and toss them. And so flare pens are always the thing that I love. That and sticky notes. So.
Oh, yes. Yep.
That's so great. Well, Jenna, thank you so much for this conversation and for sharing just about the work that you're doing in your school and your school district. So we just thank you for your work. And we just know that the students at Livonia Elementary School are being supported in a really great way. And so do you have any other final words that you want to offer up to all the educators out there working on their MTSS and supporting students?
Yeah, I would just say take advantages of the resources that are out there. There's a lot to be said for using what's already out there. And I always say, work smarter, not harder. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. So if it's out there, you just got to find it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I hope that you have a wonderful day and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Larissa.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Schoolin' Around hosted by Branching Minds. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. You can find us on our website, branchingminds.com, or connect with us on Twitter or Facebook at Branching Minds.